I'm wondering, were the Greeks the first geeks? And was the amphitheater a proto-comic-con? You see where I'm headed with this? Well, I'm a geek for pop culture zeitgeist, especially when things are looking super serious out there. I daydream about things that could really save us. I imagine a kind of Nietzschean uber being who can teach us how to really live fully in our senses and help us hear the hyper-articulation of sounds. Oh, we'd forget about creating crises, that's for sure. To get started, I'm tracing our cacophonic, ooh, I love that word, obsession, since ancient times to giving non-human creations human intelligence, so we can be somehow saved from ourselves. And it really is a reoccurring pop zeitgeist that we cling to, especially in times of crisis. Right now, we're caught up in AI's whirlwind season of cyclones, and we're pretty eager to predict its path. So I was thinking that perhaps this lighthearted look back will add some perspective. So grab your metaphoric Sennheiser HD800s. Ooh, I'd love to have a set of those. And tune in with your ears. I'm not producing field recordings or an opera, just some spoken words and an essay and some cheesy sound effects, but it's time, because if I don't do it, HAL 2024 in its proliferation will beat me to it. Zeus's entry signifies an invisible superhero whose feeling about humans is ambivalent at best. He's a trickster, and we are sitting in the amphitheater on Crete, where the Minoan audience is all around us. Below Hephaestus, the Greek god of blacksmithing, is shaping Talos, a colossal proto-droid, and part of his bronze chest plate, which is enormous, is flashing in the sun. A woman on the side of the stage is singing Talos into reality, describing his physical body and transferring the god's knowledge, how to walk, the route to be taken, how to pry a stone, how to aim and sink an enemy. Human innate knowledge enters Talos, and the liquid ichor, like blood, starts to flow in his system, animating him. And we feel confident that Talos, like a primitive R2-D2 or C-3PO or even the later K-2SO, all from Star Wars, Talos is going to serve and protect the people of Crete, who are incredible artisans. They do not make any kind of weapons, but they do need to fend off pirates and sea marauders, and they need to preserve their culture, which is very refined and utterly devoted to high art and beauty. Now a man on stage is telling the familiar story, while offstage, Talos has taken up his daily stomp around Crete's perimeter. Dancers enter the stage, mimicking giant steps. And Talos is tearing at cliffs and effortlessly hurling boulders. We are in awe and admiration. The gods are present and powerful. And these feelings are rising in the Minoan hearts. As we feel the wind shifting and hear the cracking of wood and the toppling of canvas sails, a celebration is taking place. We are saved, but also a caution. While their predecessors were assured by Talos as he encircled their island day and night to serve and protect them, and as he continues to do so in their minds, these people know that the gods are as flawed as their creations and as devious as the humans. Not much has changed. It is dusk now in the theater, and long shadows are dulling the sun. Medea has begun stealthing down the long aisle and around the perimeter of the stage, and a shiver runs through the audience. As a human princess and the granddaughter of the sun god Helios, Medea has connections. Her magic is Hecate's, and Hecate is the god who intercedes with the underworld. But whereas Hecate protects, Medea's human side makes her more fickle. Medea is emotionally complex, somewhat like a Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch. Difficult love lives. As everyone knows, Jason and his Argonauts have landed on Crete, searching for the Golden Fleece, unaware of Talos. And they can't be far, because wherever Medea is, so is Jason. The red sun is sinking. In the center of the stage, towering over Medea, is Talos's leg and foot and ankle. Dancers increasingly frenzied in their dance as Medea incants. The bolt comes loose, and under the pressure of a five-story-high tube running the length of Talos's enormous body, the ichor bursts. So, in one turn of a screw, a miraculous piece of technology, the proto-droid Talos, is undone. The caution of the Talos myth is realized. The tale is told. And we, along with the other Minoans, shuffle out. The amphitheater empties. Myths like the Talos story retain universal truths that travel through time and are expressed in our time in film and the graphic stories of superheroes and fantastical beings, as well as in our daily lives and concerns. By embedding the idea of a supernatural protector like Talos, the myth likely contributed to a sense of security and uniqueness among the Minoans. Just as we hope AI will find solutions to the climate crisis, usher in some medical miracles, and create a renaissance of human endeavor. The Talus story represents both the potential of human ingenuity in creating protectors or servants or droids, and also the fear of what those creations might do if they surpassed our control. As a man-made creature, Talus blurs the line between the natural and the artificial, which was a reoccurring theme in Greek mythology because it often explored the consequences of humans overstepping their bounds through hubris, and it makes us uncomfortable. And Talos had a single point of vulnerability, that vein that ran from his neck to his ankle and was sealed with a bolt. And this speaks to the inherent vulnerabilities of seemingly invincible entities, things we imbue with huge trust, whether they are individuals, societies, ideologies, or technologies. Talus is the precursor to robotics and artificial intelligence, raising questions about the ethics of creating artificial life, the responsibility of creators towards their creations, and the unforeseen consequences of imbuing non-human entities with power or autonomy. As I have unpacked some of the insights into this myth, I'll bet you were thinking of something you've thought of, or read, or written, or seen, or listened to, or created just today. Something we all recognize as pressing in this moment of time. But I can't leave you without a path forward. So please bear with me for one last thought, an analogy that expresses exactly where I think we are in relationship to our current colossus of knowledge. We are in liminal space, standing on the shore. In front of us, the watery waves that are the assumptions we have about ourselves are being sucked back into the immense, complex ocean of our humanness, leaving an extraordinary undersea of fantastical possibility. And that abundance contains parts of our being human, as well as technology's capacity to augment us through AI, in ways that were previously hidden or unattainable. With a curiosity not unlike the hapless people who run to harvest what is floundering on the exposed seabed, there is now a rush to leverage AI for gain. Corporate and economic gain, scientific gain, social gain. And this is happening before we have begun to come to terms with the ethical dilemmas, privacy issues, and societal disruptions that we know await us when it bears down on us. And it will bear down on us. The artificial tsunami will pull along with it, like so much detritus, the core of our humanity as we have defined it up to this time. And some of that core will benefit from this redefinition without a doubt. What is also without a doubt is that as it picks up momentum, the widespread integration and impact of AI will flood epically across all facets of life. But we are not there in this moment. We are still on the shore observing something unprecedented, something we don't quite understand, something we have started to try to grapple with, something that is coming towards us. And in this time, I think it is incumbent upon us to prepare, to not rush out onto the exposed seabeds, but to climb to the higher ground and gain perspective, to safeguard even until we know better. At least before the deluge, to usher in this new era. And we will have to work with one another in ways that, well, I'll talk about that next time. Next month, I'm going to investigate the automata created by Al-Jazari and Leonardo da Vinci, polymaths who, despite originating from vastly different cultures and historical backgrounds, have intriguing parallels with modern pop culture, particularly in their influence on science fiction, robotics, and automation. So, be prepared to listen to the sounds that defined their inventions and worlds and their stories, and to find parallels with the moment we are in now. Follow me on LinkedIn, share my newsletter, Audio AI Think Tank, and most of all, thanks for listening.